Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word today, this Reformation Sunday, is our Psalm of the day, Psalm 46. And dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, from Psalm 46, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Therefore, inescapable conclusion, we will not fear. Sometime back, I told you about how Martin Luther, the fellow our church is named after, when he was a monk and trying to work his way into everlasting life as he was taught to do, he went into the confessional booth and he confessed his sins before the priest for 7 hours straight. And he followed the seven deadly sins and recalled his conscience about how he had sinned against those in the Ten Commandments. And then he went over every sin that could possibly come to mind over all the years of his life of thought, word, and deed, because he felt he had to confess everything to God. And finally the priest broke in and said to him, he said, "Man, God is not angry with you. You are angry with God. And so, do you not know that God commands you to hope? Do you not know that God commands you to hope?" Well, it's certainly better than what Luther was doing, and I think I can understand what the priest was trying to do when he talked to him. He was saying, "You seem to be a fellow who only understands commandments. You seem to think that the way of God is just simply, here's the commandments to follow, do them, and you will be righteous before Almighty God. You follow the way of the commandments, so I'm going to give you another commandment. God has commanded us to hope. There's another commandment for you, if that's all that you're going to understand." Well, if that's all you do understand, you recognize you are not going near enough. Because hope can't really be a commandment, can it? Command someone to hope? Command someone to be happy? Command someone to be cheerful? You can't really command it. Either you hope or you don't. And also we recognize something about hope, and that is that it can't stand alone. It is not an end in itself. If you have hope, now you've arrived at the goal. Hope has to be in something. It has to have a branch to land on. It has to have somewhere to rest. It has to have somewhere to turn its gaze. To use Bible language, it has to have somewhere to lay its head. So the question remains, yes, God commanded you to have hope, but hope in what? Well, look at today's Psalm, Psalm 46. Hope in what? Well, what if the earth shows change? What if the glaciers shrink? What if the waters rise? What if the species die? What if the ecosystems and food systems collapse? Hope in what? What if all that you thought was most solid, the mountains, are all of a sudden they totter and they quake? And the earth itself provides no place to stand. I remember going with my family on a trip down in California. My son would know exactly where it was, but it was along the San Andreas Fault. We were out in the desert, and you could see actually where the fault was, because there was a stream bed that came down like this. Actually, I'll do it this way. There was a stream that went like this, and all of a sudden the stream was like this. The fault had shifted about 10 feet. What do you do if the mountains quake and fall into the heart of the sea? Hope in what? What if the nations roar? What if in their endless strife to dominate one another, everybody gets destroyed? You see it all the time on the news. Hope in what? What if the kingdoms totter? What if law and order ceases? Hope in what? What if the Lord comes in judgment and his voice on the last day is so powerful that the earth itself melts? Hope in what? Because hope does not stand alone. It is not an end in itself. You can't just say, all those things happened and the San Andreas just shifted, but I have hope. Hope has to have a branch to land on. It has to have some place to rest. It has to have somewhere to turn its gaze. It has to have some place to lay its head. Now, some folks who go to church say, well, yeah, I have hope. I hope that I did what God wants me to do. I hope that I was faithful enough. I hope I've done what God says. I hope I have the right kind of heart. To which Martin Luther, speaking many years after he was a monk and he already tried that route, this is what he said. He said, the Word of God, and I quote, the Word of God is too high, and it's too hard that anyone should fulfill it. This is proved not merely by our Lord's word, but by our own experience and our own feeling. Take any upright man or woman. They will get along very nicely with those who do not provoke them. But let someone offer only the slightest irritation, and they flare up in anger. Flesh and blood cannot rise above it. Hope in what? Hope in yourself? Flesh and blood cannot rise above it. You can't satisfy God on any point. That was something Luther had right when he was 7 hours in the confessional. He recognized that he did not have the capacity to fulfill God's conditions. He saw rightly he could not satisfy God on any point. What he got wrong was his solution. And his solution was, therefore, starting tomorrow, I have to try harder. I have to do better. I have to be a different kind of person. I've got to give more. I've got to make the Lord happy. And all of that, why? Because he did not believe that God was with him. He did not believe that the God of Jacob was his fortress. He did not believe, even though he saw a cross in front of him all the time, that Jesus was his Savior and had taken his sins. He was angry. He was angry because God demanded so much. And he was so angry that he crashed right into today's epistle lesson. Romans chapter 3. Now we know that whatever God's law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world be held accountable to God. Because by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in God's sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. 7 hours in the confessional booth, did Luther know his sin? Yes. 7 hours in the confessional booth, did he know his Savior? No. No, he did not. But it's only when you crash and you hit the tree that all of a sudden you can hear the next verses that come. Verse 21 from today's lesson. But now, the righteousness that comes from God has been manifested apart from keeping the law, apart from following the rules, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. This righteousness of God is through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, you can say the words, for all have what? Sinned, and all fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Hope in what? What do you hope in? Hope has to have a place to lay its head. It has to have a place to rest. You look around and you say, I've run out of things to hope in. We got election coming up. I've got hope. We know we've run out of things to hope in. Or have we? What do we have? Well, you've sung the hymn before. My hope is built on what? Nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And I don't care if you're talking about an election, or if you're talking about global warming or nuclear destruction or whatever you want to talk about, everything else that might be a hope for a person in such situations is something less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And if you are justified freely by his grace that came by the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, that's today's epistle, then you are a child of God, and the Lord is with you. And if the Lord is with you, what's the conclusion? I will not fear. Yeah, but who might get elected? I will not fear. Yeah, but what happens to the glaciers? I will not fear. What happens to the environment? I will not fear. What happens to the economy? What happens in Gaza? What happens in wherever you want to look? What happens? I will not fear. Yeah, to begin with, I'll fear, right? Let's be honest. But in the end, I will not fear. Because the Lord is my refuge, the Lord is my strength, The Lord is my help in extremity. The Lord is my Savior. Therefore, we will not fear when the earth shows change. We will not fear when the mountains totter in the heart of the waters. We will not fear when the waters roar and foam. We will not fear when the mountains quake. We will not fear when the nations roar and the kingdoms totter. We will not fear when the earth melts. We will not fear when the glaciers recede. We will not fear when the global warms. We will not fear when the San Andreas Fault goes this way or goes that way. The book of Habakkuk chapter 3, though the fig tree should not blossom and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exult, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. And so, in the New Testament, the Lord showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb in the middle of the street of the city. And on either side of the river was the tree of life, and the leaves of the tree will be for the healing of the nations, and there will be no longer any curse, and they will see God's face. Book of Revelation chapter 22. But you find it in the Old Testament too as well, today's psalm. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling of the Most High. God is in her midst. She will not totter. God will help her at the turn of the morning. Because the Lord will make to cease wars to the ends of the earth. The bow he will break, he will cut into the spear. The war chariots he will burn with fire. And all will know that he is God, that he will be exalted in the nations, that he will be exalted in the earth, because the Lord of hosts is with us, and because he is with us, Jesus, we know, has redeemed us, and because Jesus has redeemed us, we have a hope, we have an eternal future, Therefore, what? What's the conclusion? Therefore, we will not fear. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith, in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.